Me to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. If you're fairly new or new, we are going through the letter of the Ephesians verse by verse. Somebody asked me one time, why in the world do you go verse by verse instead of subject by subject? If you do study by subject, you'll not hit a lot of the pieces in the Bible because they may not seem important. But when you go verse by verse, you are forced to hit every subject that is in that passage, and it just makes a lot more fun. And so we are going through Ephesians. Last week we looked at Paul's prayer, starting in verse 14 through 21, being kind of a wake-up message, because between Ephesians chapter 1 and 3:13, that whole three-chapter spread, all Paul does is educate us to the multiple promises. And I'm going to say this off the top of my head because I did it so many times I couldn't remember. I think there's 23 promises in there that he gives us the moment we believe in him. All those promises apply. And so Paul gives us what we called last week the Christian ignition, where Paul is praying that we turn the key in that ignition and use that enormously powerful spiritual engine that God has given us. Now, last week, if you recall, I told you about my Corvette, my high school years, as an example of being very similar to our Christian life. And we looked at the engine, and the engine was so powerful, and yet because the clutch wasn't engaging tight, do you remember that, ladies, what the clutch is? Okay, it's the what drives the wheels from the engine, and it wasn't engaging right, so even though I had this humongous engine in it, I would have to keep goosing it and moving it along just to try to get it going, and finally would get going until the day that the mechanic adjusted the clutch and turned on the ignition, and then all of a sudden, I felt the G-force of that engine and choked on the tire smoke. Okay? And it's because turning on the key with everything adjusted, with everything working proper, is like yielding to the Holy Spirit and watching him work power in us to live the Christian life. And that with all of its strength. And hear this if you can. And it's also not limiting God's ability in our minds to do amply far beyond anything we can ask or think. Man, I love that portion of that prayer, don't you? It's just an exciting piece. And he says that we would be, first of all, strengthened with power in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith, that we would be rooted and grounded in love, and then we might comprehend and know Christ, the love of Christ, and then resulting in us being filled with all the fullness of God. Now think about that for a minute, all the fullness of God. And so we have everything at our fingertips to fight off temptations and traps that the evil one sets for us. And I think it's incredibly exciting to think about. But our heart naturally somehow wants to reject it because it seems impossible. And maybe it's because of this small, small issue. We have never experienced it, maybe. Or we haven't experienced in its fullness yet. And so we can't say or think it's true with a deep conviction. And to be quite honest, I haven't seen it in many Christians. And I don't mean that as an indictment. I look, and I think you look, don't you? For people that exhibit Christ in their life. And over the years, I've met only a few people who I feel like have the power of Christ in life because it starts out with meekness and gentleness, right? It never is that power that we think of. And because they know where their power is coming from and who is coming from, and it isn't them. Now, let me give you an example of probably the best example in my life that I've held in my heart for years and years. I was a teenager, and my parents were in a Bible study, and so the Bible study teacher was going to have us all up to his father's cabin on Cabano Island, it was called. And so Mr. Gressley, his father, okay, his wife's father, asked if I would go up with them a day early so we could get the cabin right. And I was a teenager, and I thought, yeah, that'd be kind of fun. And so we headed out up the freeway in his old antiquated Oldsmobile 88. Okay, it was a big, long, you see what I got one off the internet here. It's a big, long one. It has that little shade on the top and, you know, all these buttons and this kind of thing. And so we went roaring up the freeway at 40 miles an hour. Well, he was in his 80s, get it, okay? And so we were going 40 miles an hour, and people were waving. At first, I thought they were just really happy waving, and then I realized it wasn't, because I rolled down my window and heard things like, you know, get the lead out, or drive it, or park it, or whatever. And they were zooming past, and so I kind of ducked down in the seat, hoping that somebody didn't drive by who knows me, you know? And so I even wondered what I got myself into with Mr. Gressley. Well, we arrived at the cabin, and you saw a little picture, I think, up there of Kameno Island. It's a really, really, really pretty island on Puget Sound, because I lived up in the Seattle area. And it was a day before the rest of the family came and were to arrive. And so we went out on his little boat. It was a one-lunger, we called it. How many know what a one-lunger is? Okay, that's a one-cylinder engine. And so he had this big one-lunger, and it would boom, boom, boom. And so we went out and putted out onto the water, and then he threw some crab pots off with Clorox bottles at the top, and we came back in, and we kind of got things cleaned up. We went out there, pulled up that crab pot, and it was full of crab. And so we pulled all that out, and got it and kept them in pails till the next morning or the next day when the family came, so we could eat those fresh. And that night, as we got done with the crabbing and that kind of thing, we settled in for the evening after a simple dinner. He made a really simple dinner. In fact, his coffee, he just took his grounds and poured them in and stirred them. Told me it was Irish coffee. And I thought, man, that'll make you cough. Yeah, see? People are coughing already. But before we went to bed, he built a fire in the fireplace, and he opened up his Bible and read a little portion out of it to me and explained it, and we began to talk about it. And I don't know what the transfer was, but all of a sudden, it got powerful in my life. I'd never had that kind of exchange with somebody, and he was just a quiet old man, and at the time, I can remember feeling like, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, I felt like I wanted to be a pastor and a missionary and a scholar and a martyr all at the same time because of the influence he was having on me. And he had lost his wife a few years back, and he was in his 80s, but his trust in God was so incredibly simple and pure and unclouded that it transformed me just sitting listening to him talk. I had never heard some, but he was so much assurance of their faith, and it still affects me today every time I think about that memory. Have you ever met someone like that? I believe he lived the fullness of Christ because Mr. Gressley was in love with Christ. And yet, like I said, he's still an example to me today. So we're going to get your ignition turned on and get you rolling down the highway more than 40, okay? And I'm going to pray, and have been praying all this week, that the power is going to be released in your life just as Paul prays for us, and it was released in his life. Now, last week, we looked under our hoods. Do you remember that? We looked under our hoods at our spiritual engine, and that God's wrenched together with all these promises so that you can smoke your tire and go. All right? And now he's going to give us a blueprint in a prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 that we too can experience this fullness of God like Mr. Gressley had and that I wanted and still want to gain in my life, and I'm sure you do too. So let's look first of all at the inner strength in verses 14 through 16 where it all begins. Now, Paul states by saying, and let's read these in yellow. You remember that if it's in yellow, you read it, except for when I goof up and put it in white. Okay, all right. You're staring at me. Okay, all right, here we go. You want to read it with me? Are you willing to read it with me? Okay, all right, okay. I just want to know you're out there tonight. Okay, here we go. That he would grant you to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Man, now I love that. Do I have a verse, slide 15? Do you have that? Okay, I guess maybe I cut it off or something. Okay. All right, so let me just explain this from verse 14 if you have your Bibles. And it says this, for this reason, it means on account of this, I bow or I bend my knees. And when Paul says that, he means he's bending it in worship. To the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family, and when he uses the word family in the original language, it's father, what we'd say fatherhood. And what it means is when a father has a great group of sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters, then they would call that family a fatherhood. And so from whom the whole fatherhood in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant or he would give to you according to the riches, and it really is a singular, and it really should say, according to the wealth of his glory, to be strengthened. And when he says strengthened, it means to be strong, to be healthy psychologically or vigorous, with might, with power. And you know, I love this word because in the original, it's the word dunamis, or dunamis. And it's where we get our word dynamite from. And we look at this, and he's saying to be strengthened, to be blown up to a certain extent with might, with this dynamite through his spirit in the inner man, the inside man. And then when we get to the word man, I want to say this, especially for the ladies, that is our word anthropos is where we get anthropology, and it does not mean a male. It means people, okay? And so a lot of times, you know, I've heard people, especially women, gripe that the Bible just seems to talk to men. Well, it's because that's the way they did it back then. But anthropos means man. And so we could say this, through a spirit in the inner person. Now, Paul says, I'm praying that God would strengthen you with inner power through his Holy Spirit. And that's the beginning of everything, folks. That's the beginning, the strengthening and the powerful relationship with Christ. In the first step, we talked about last week and in this week, is to turn the key. Turn the ignition on. And be strengthened in the inner or inside person by the Holy Spirit. Now that's a bold request by Paul. And do you think he prayed something that can't happen? I want you to think about that, because a lot of times we listen to that and we think, well, yeah, I just think that's really out there and that's a great goal, right? Listen, as you and I surrender your lives to the Father so that the Spirit of God can empower you in the inner man, that's the key that we turn. And when Paul says the inner man, he is simply means the internal you. There's only two yous. Do you realize that? The outside guy and the inside guy, right? And he's talking about the inside person. It is that inside that is to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit with his power. And we sometimes get that mixed up with the outside, right? We want to perform miracles. We want to do all this power on the outside. And God's not talking about that. He's talking about the inside. And so you might ask right now, well, Steve, how does that happen, right? How does that happen? How do you really experience this dynamite inside? So let me tell you what it's not first. It isn't as simply as the Holy Spirit indwells us and therefore we have it, because the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. Amen? Okay? And so that's not it, because not every Christian has the power of God in there. There are Christians who deny the power thereof, Paul says. But it's when you yield to God and to the Holy Spirit, and when he fills your life and he dominates your life, and he cries out to you in a little whisper, and you hear it, and I know you know it down deep, you can hear it, Christian. But you may not like giving things up to him, because we're pretty independent. And you may not like giving up things like control or self-preservation or your fantastic, unmatchable wisdom. But surrendering all that to God is like the gas for your spiritual engine. You following me tonight? Okay. And when he's talking about the inner man, he's not necessarily talking about the strength for witnessing or the strength for service or the strength for evangelism or what anything that the outer man might do. He's talking about spiritual vigor that gives you and me victory in our own lives. And it's the strength to conquer and stand against Satan's attempt to throw us off and to overcome sin and the flesh and the world. And it's the spiritual energy, it's the spiritual stamina, maybe, that a Christian potentially has. And so, to start with, if you're really going to be effective in this kingdom of God, and the power is going to be released, you need that Holy Spirit stamina. Amen? To be victorious over temptation, to be victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you can only know that victory when you're strengthened in the inner man. And the only way you can have a strong inner man is when the Spirit of God strengthens you. Now, I love this because this is called a passive command. And Paul uses it a lot, and he tells you to do something that you can't do. Do you realize that? Be filled with the Spirit. How in the world do you do that? The Spirit fills us. It's not you, right? And so Paul uses these passive commands because your strength isn't going to do it. And if you try to do it, what happens? It's a disaster, right? Then you have to pick up the pieces and start over, and they think, oh God, I messed up. So I want to look at Romans 7 just as an illustration, because Paul tells us this very thing. As he's wrestling around in chapter 7, trying to strengthen his inner man, and he is having a disastrous time of it. So let's look at verse 15 of Romans chapter 7. For that which I do, I understand not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not do, I can say unto the law that it is good, but then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. In other words, what Paul's saying here is I've got a problem. I never do what I want to do, and I always do what I don't want to do, and I find this thing warring in me, and there is sin that is in me. Now, he goes on to say the same thing essentially through 18 through 20. We get to verse 21, it says this, I find a principle then that when I do good, evil is present with me. So do you guys feel that at all? You ever feel like one time in your life you just like to have a pure, straight, righteous motive, right? Just to love someone and there's no strings attached in your mind, immediately starts trying to trick you and fool you and pull in other types of attitudes. And that's what Paul's talking about. You know the struggle. He's been trying to get strong inside like most Christians try, and he can't do it. And he finally finds victory. Listen to this in 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. You ever feel that way? Man, I'm telling you. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our answer, isn't it? Paul's saying, as long as I was trying to crank it out my flesh, it never got me anywhere, so I cry out to Jesus Christ. So how do I find this power? How do we get filled in the inner man or strengthened in the inner man? And when you really stop to think it, that's the gas pump, isn't it? That's the gas pump for our little Corvette engine. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And it starts out this way. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, or it means the wearing down of oneself. But be filled with the Spirit, or by the Spirit, I think is the way it should be translated. And we could even add, in the inner man. But what's he filling us with? See, the thing is, we already have the Holy Spirit, don't we? That's not the issue. The issue is we want to be filled. And I think we need to go over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And Paul tells us what that filling is, what that fruit is. Verse 22 of Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Well, where's all the power? That is the power. Against such, there is no law. You can't have too much. You know what? Nobody's going to pull you over and give you a ticket for loving somebody too much. You ever thought about that? Or for having too much kindness or having too much patience. You aren't going to get in trouble for that because against such, there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. That's what happened to us when we accepted Christ. He crucified us with him in the flesh and his passions. So he says, if we live in the Spirit, which we do, right? Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's go back to our passage in Ephesians 5. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled by the Spirit. Number one, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, just like we did before I got up here. We sang songs together. And then number two, he says, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, which means you do that alone as well as at church. Now, I want to challenge you something. You ever make up a song and sing it to the Lord? How many have done that? Okay, quite a few of you. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. I'm telling you, doesn't it move your soul when you do it? Every time I do that, I think, why don't I do that all the time? And sometimes I'll be in my car and I'll be making up a song and I'm singing it to God and I look over and somebody's staring at me. And I just wave at him anymore. I used to kind of go like, no, you know, roll down the line. I'm cool, you know. No. Singing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. And boy, just to make up your own song. And if you can't carry tune, that's a great place for you to sing. Right? And then he says in 20, number three, give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when I look at that, I've had so many people say to me, well, Steve, I can't do that because I can't give God thanks because somebody dies. Or I can't give God thanks because somebody broke into my house and stole my TV set. Well, yes, you can. Because when somebody dies, we had a funeral here Friday. And you know what? The young man's name was Coy. He was 20 years old. He had tattooed on his chest, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And on his arm he said, and blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And I looked at that at 20 years old, and this guy helped people, and he was always stopping on the road and fixing their cars and all this kind of thing. And when I look at his life, he could say, well, God, you cheated me. 4 days before he died, he married his girlfriend in the hospital. They wheeled him down to the chapel, and the chaplain had him exchange vows, and then they stood him up. He was in kind of a solarium so he could see the mountains and watch the sunrise. And 4 days later, he took his last breath. And I thought, hey, that's not fair. Right? That's not fair. He's only 20 years old. He didn't get to live a full life. Well, let's rethink that. Where do you think he is? Do you think he's all miserable because he only lived 20 years on this life? No, we're the miserable ones because we're going to miss Coy, but we're going to see him again. And so we can give thanks for all things because God works all things together to the good for those who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28, right? And then the last one, number four, is submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. You know, what would it be like if we all gave deference to other people and we loved them and we cared about them and we served them? Because isn't that what it is? Submitting to someone or serving them? And we get goofed up on, oh, the woman's supposed to serve that. And, you know, we get into this whole theological thing, and the bottom line is the verse before says submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord. So those are four things that Paul tells us that we can do to strengthen the inner man. And so, my friends, what are you going to do about it? I mean, Deb made soup, and we're going to have soup afterwards, and it's tortellini soup. Yeah, I'm ready for that. And so, are we going to get out there and go, you know, that was a great sermon. Pass the tortellini soup, you know, pass the cheese. And that's the last you think about it? Or you can consider being strengthened in the inner man by the Holy Spirit and have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you that it oozes out. Which do you want? I think I'd like that more than tortellini soup, and that's a big one for me, right? I'm just kidding.